about a minute out.
Welcome to the regular meeting of the Governing Board of the Office of Inspector General. The Governing Board is an independent, citizen-nominated board that works to ensure honesty, integrity, accountability, and trust in city government. The board routinely meets every third Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. in City Council Committee Room 1, unless otherwise specified. However, due to COVID-19 pandemic, the board now meets remotely. The board is comprised of city residents nominated by a public interest group and confirmed by the city council to serve a 3-year term of office. All board members are community volunteers who receive no pay for their services. The members of the board are Todd Gray, nominated by the Atlanta Business League, Chris Gilmore, vice chair, nominated by the Gate City Bar Association, Matt Grosvenor, nominated by the Georgia Society of CPAs, Dick Hartman, nominated by the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners, Lisa Lang, nominated by the Atlanta Bar Association, Jerry Newmark, nominated by the Atlanta Planning Advisory Board, Wesley Tharp, nominated by the Metro Atlanta Chamber of Commerce, Bing Wang, nominated by the 7 major universities of Metro Atlanta, and myself. My name is Nicola Hines, and I'm nominated by the League of Women Voters, and I'm the chairwoman of the board. Today present, we have Ms. Shannon Manigault, the Inspector General for the City of Atlanta, and her office and staff, and the Ethics Officer, Jabu Sangova, and her staff are also present. I believe a quorum is present. Let's begin with the first order of business, which is the adoption of the agenda for tonight's meeting.
I move that we adopt the agenda as drafted.
Okay. Seconded.
Okay. That was moved by Chris Gilmore and seconded by Jerry Newmark. Are there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. Any abstentions? Hearing none, on to the next. Next will be our minutes of our November 18th, 2021 meeting. I'll give everyone a minute to look over the minutes from that was given out by the ethics officer in our board packet. It should be page 3. When it's done, can I get a motion on the floor?
I move that we approve the minutes from the November 18, 2021 meeting.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay, it has been moved by Wesley Tharp and second by Lisa Lang. Are there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, all those in favor to adopt the minutes of the November 18th, 2021 meeting, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Those opposed, say nay. Any abstentions? Hearing none, the motion passed. Next order of business is the minutes of the December 4th, 2021 board retreat. I will also give you a few minutes. It follows right behind the minutes from the November 18th minute meeting. And this consider page 6 in your packet.
I move that we adopt the minutes of the December retreat as drafted.
Vic Hartman, I second.
Okay. It has been moved by Chris Gilmore and seconded by Vic Hartman. Any discussion for the minutes of the December 4th, 2020 board retreat? 2021, sorry, board retreat. Okay. Hearing no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Any abstentions? Hearing none, the motion passed the minutes of the December 4th, 2021 board retreat. Moving on to the agenda, board operations. Who will be presenting the is that something that needs to be shown?
No, Madam Chair. That is just for the records of the board members for the benefit of the members.
Okay. All right. 2022 board meeting schedule. I believe we have that and chart again.
And Chair, the board schedule will need to be voted upon. The board needs to review that. Thank you.
Yep, I got it. I just wanted to pull it up and it's on page 12 of your packet if you're looking at your packet. Can I get a motion on the floor?
I move that we adopt the 2022 board meeting schedule as written.
Second.
Okay, it has been moved by Wes Tharp and seconded by Jerry Newmark. Any discussion?
I have a question. This is Lisa Liang. I was wondering, where is the December 3rd date, is that the date that we thought we would need to reschedule or the date that we are rescheduling to?
That's a good question. It's a date that we need to move.
Thank you for that. I just realized that that date needs to be, yes.
Yes. Thank you. So the proposed date was December 10th, and I believe everyone did, we did discuss about the December 10th as the board retreat. So that's a change. Any other comments on the schedule? Okay. With that change, I do need a new motion to accept the new schedule, which will change the December 3rd retreat date to December 10th.
Would that be an amendment? Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's an amendment. Yeah, this is Chris Gilmore. I move to amend the current motion on the table to approve the 2022 schedule as drafted, but amending the December board retreat to be December 10th at 9 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a second for that?
This is Lisa. I'll second the motion.
Okay. And it has been, the amended motion has been moved by Chris Gilmore and seconded by Lisa Lang. Any discussion with the amended schedule? Hearing none, all those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed, say nay. Any abstentions? Okay, hearing none. The amended schedule for our 2022 board meeting has been adopted. Okay. Next on the agenda is the Compliance and Independence Procurement Review Division. Inspector General's report.
Good evening. And Happy New Year. I suppose it's a little late in the month for that, but I haven't seen you all, so Happy New Year. I'm actually going to start this evening with the Independent Procurement Review Division. IPRO has, since the last board meeting, issued four reports in terms of areas of departments covered. Those are three from the Aviation Department, one from Watershed. You see the number of findings and the aggregate value of those reports. This is a slightly lower number of reports than would be typical, but I think it is typical for this time of year, both capturing the end of the year with the holidays and also the transition with the change of administration. Beyond the reports, the other thing to report from the IPRO division is that we've had a resignation of one of our independent procurement review officers who's resigned to pursue an excellent opportunity within the private sector. I'm very excited for him and we'll miss his contributions, but we are then moving very quickly to fill the position. As we know, as we talked about in prior meetings and in the board retreat, the Independent Procurement Review is very leanly staffed, and so we're not going to let any grass grow before we fill that position. The post position is actually posted now on the city websites and the various job search engines that the city uses. Any questions with respect to IPRO? Okay, turning to compliance, rather than give the standard update on report of activities, I thought it would be a good time to have essentially kind of a year in review, because it comes at a time where the division has to submit its statutorily required annual report. So as you may or may not call, the charter sets out that the compliance division must submit a report in January detailing its activities and carrying out its goals. And that report is to be submitted to the governing board, mayor, and to city council. In addition, that report is to include, also by charter mandate, a special section about potential training where there are issues and areas identified by the compliance division, and that then those training opportunities would have to then be approved by city council. So most of the things that I'm going to kind of touch on topic-wise are things that you've heard before. There are a few updates from the last board meeting, but mostly these are things that we've talked about in the aggregate across the board meetings in the last year. For hiring, the annual report is going to discuss the original assignment of positions and how quickly we were able to fill those. So specifically, those were the six originally assigned positions: the Inspector General, the Deputy Inspector General, the Executive Assistant for the unit, and then three investigation managers. We also then secured funding for four additional positions: the investigative data analyst, investigative attorney, senior investigator, and the entry-level investigator. And all of those positions have been filled as well. The report's going to outline how, as you know, I've said in prior meetings, that among the competing top priorities in building out this new division, that hiring had to take precedence, and we've been successful in assembling a high-quality team in order to fulfill the council mandate for the office. Office space is next, and here there actually is an update for you all and for the members of staff who have not yet had the opportunity to share this information. As you know, we've been operating out of 98 Mitchell Street since the office opened, when the city reopened for in-person work in June of 2021. That space was temporary, pending the completion of renovations to a new city facility at 185 Ted Turner Drive. We learned just last week from the Department of Enterprise Asset Management that the construction is going to be completed later in the spring than anticipated, though some of the delays were anticipated because construction goes as construction goes, this renovation being no different. But the date for the move for the Office of the Inspector General is currently slated for early June. So we will have been at the 98 Mitchell Street temporary space for roughly a year.
Recording in progress.
Transition to our permanent space. In terms of stakeholder outreach, we have, over the course of the year, had various discussions and meetings with community leaders, department heads, old council members, and now new council staff. I've already had a meeting with the council president, and we're slated to participate in training for all council members that is going to take place in early February. We've had meetings and discussions with law enforcement partners that I tend to think about some of the cultivation of these relationships as investments in our future and kind of planting seeds, and some of these things have already bore fruit. For one of the matters that is ongoing, so I can't give too many details, we are already working hand-in-hand with one of our law enforcement partners and one of our prosecution partners, and I see that as a direct result of some of the early conversations that I'd had with both of those offices from earlier in the spring. Investigative resource-wise, as you know, we've secured access to some of the kind of leading investigative databases for the office, obviously equipment that we needed starting from scratch. The case management system is the last big ticket item that we need to secure. Because of the value of such a product, we have to proceed through the city's procurement process, and it's a formal procurement, so we are engaging in that process as we speak. Intake-wise, the things to note here were just the ways that we look to supplement the city's current complaint mechanism. As you know, the Integrity Hotline has functioned for years now to collect fraud, waste, and abuse allegations, in addition to the ethics allegations and concerns. We wanted to add to that, and so we have, over the course of the year, developed the Inspector General at AtlantaGA.gov email address. We have created a OIG tip line, which is staffed by live investigators in the compliance division during business hours. We have an online complaint form that's accessible through the website, atloig.org. And so each of these mechanisms are now in place in order to give the city employees and members of the public every possible avenue to submit their questions and concerns and potential complaints regarding misconduct in city government. In terms of internal governance, this is a work in progress. It has been our goal, and we've been working towards putting together a comprehensive investigative manual, which will be a compilation of the policies and procedures that govern our daily work. Some of this is work that we're putting together kind of on our own from scratch, but a lot of it is relying on policies that we've collected from across the country which leads us to the next topic, which is the IG community. So many of us from the compliance division have come from other offices of inspector general and other compliance and oversight functions, and so we have really been able to capitalize on relationships that we had prior to joining the office. But in the course of being in the office, we've also cultivated new ones, a combination of outreach from the experience we had with the Association of Inspectors General certification training, and otherwise, there have been needs where we have been conducting research and have had need to reach out to other offices from around the country, and we haven't hesitated to do that. So we have both kind of utilized the existing relationships we've had, and then forged new ones as well. In terms of education, we have been introducing the office, engaging in anti-corruption training for, at this point, just a small number of departments. But the hope was that, and Omicron is throwing a little bit of a wrench in this, we know that there is a goal from the administration to transfer and transition to more in-person work and getting away from some of the telework. And so we would look to capitalize that and have more of the educational efforts be in person. In terms of the case statistics, the information that I included here is because you have had the prior information. This is just a snapshot of our current status from the last board meeting. So we have 20 active matters right now, and since the last board meeting had closed one case. As I identified at the top, that training has to be included as part of our annual report as required by the charter. And here we intend to, within the report, highlight two areas that we've identified over the course of our investigations and their complaint and intake where we think that the city might benefit from additional training. And under the charter, what will be required is council approval for us to then go forward and proceed with that training across the city. Those topic-wise at a high level deal with timekeeping and issues of time theft, and also kind of more broadly tone at the top issues. So those are the kind of activities year-to-date and also since the last board meeting. Does anyone have any questions before I turn to the budget report?
One quick question. Where will your permanent office space be again?
It's at 185 Ted Turner Drive, Southwest. It's a short walk away and from our current office and just a little further away from City Hall, but still walking distance downtown. Okay. If there's nothing else, then turning to the budget report. Spending is happening roughly as anticipated. I think that there are some nips and tucks that are going to be made in part because of adjustments from the continued state of affairs in the world with COVID. So where there would have been expenses for traveling and training, we haven't been doing that. There's been some more that's been virtual. And so I think that there are going to be funds that are going to be shifted here and there. In the budget report, you might notice there appear to be shortfalls in personnel expenses for watershed and aviation for the compliance division. We've had conversations with finance about this for months. Ultimately, I think this was an error created by the non-allocation of funds according to split funding. It was supposed to be funded for the compliance division, 70% general fund, 15% aviation, and 15% watershed, and that's not an adjustment that was made. But we understand from finance that these are kind of negotiations and adjustments that will be made on their end in the back, and there's nothing to fear. Certainly, all of these fall in personnel and we were reassured multiple times that no one's paycheck is in dispute or in jeopardy in any way. So that's an issue that is going to be worked out on their end. And we'll make sure that that's done in preparation for the next fiscal year. In terms of significant expenses from the independent procurement review team, the cost of computers has still been the main expense. The entire division had need for replacement of computers, and so that has been done. And I think even just this week, those kind of orders that are outstanding have come in. That too is a category where the records reflect a shortfall, but that again is a finance issue that they're working out in terms of conflicting invoices. For the compliance division, the spending to come for the rest of the year, kind of the large ticket items, are the things that we had received additional funding for in this budget season, specifically the purchase of vehicles, the cost of the consultant for a public awareness campaign, which again is something that's in the procurement pipeline, and the case management system, as described, which is also in the procurement pipeline. We hope and anticipate that those costs are still going to fall within this fiscal year, so we'll be able to spend the money that was anticipated. Otherwise, I think there will be, as I said, some small shifts from the money in separate accounts to account for some different spending as a result of COVID. But otherwise, I think we're on target to spend ultimately in the aggregate as anticipated. Does anyone have any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Manigault, for that. Next on our agenda is the Ethics Division, the Ethics Office Report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good evening, members of the Governing Board. I will go over just highlights of the 2021 Annual Report, and we hope to have that ready by the end of this month and disseminate accordingly. In terms of just highlights from our report, we're focusing more on education and training and some of the other programs that we worked on in 2021. As far as our training efforts, we were able to get our new citywide ethics training, we have that complete now. And now, because we were able to get that training mandated, the training is scheduled to launch this month, and we've partnered with HR on that. In terms of our training numbers, we did train approximately 600 officials and employees, and that was virtually. Again, we're hoping that when we launch the e-learning course this year, that those numbers will go up. We continue to promote our ethics message through communication and awareness efforts, and we've published our Ethics in Action newsletter, and we usually try to target at least to publish that 3 times a year. As far as any operational updates for the report, we worked on filling any vacant board seats, seats on this board. We were able to create and hire, of course, a new program manager position, which is proven to be really just a great thing for our office and our programs, and just making sure that the programs are running smoothly. As far as other details that we're going to cover in the 2021 report, the other important thing, of course, is financial disclosure. Now, this is our second year navigating through the disclosure filing process through a virtual world, which was not easy. But we did achieve an 87% timely filing rate and with a 94% overall rate. And we're talking about close to 3,000 people filing, and that number continues to grow each year. 10 years ago, our numbers were around 1,500 filers. As far as auditing disclosure statements, that also will be covered in the report, and we plan to cover any legislative and organizational updates. For investigations and enforcement, we received 93 complaints through the hotline, and our office made all the appropriate referrals. We've closed a number of matters, of course, as well as assessed penalties in ethics and financial disclosure cases. So that's pretty much just highlighting some of the things from our annual report. And we did provide a few pages of that in the packet, which is on page 29. But you'll see the more comprehensive report once we have that ready. Thank you. And I can move on to the status report if that's permissible.
That should be fine. I don't think anyone has any questions.
Okay, as far as our status report in terms of recent activities since November, one of the things I did want to highlight is that we were able to conduct ethics training for a few new members of the mayor's transition staff, just focusing on ethics. We've sent out reminders to city officials and department heads about their year-end reporting, which is, of course, travel, gift, or any conflict of interest forms. We've completed our five-year budget projections, which is going to help us in terms of having the appropriate funding for programs in FY 2023. Mr. Santiago conducted ethics training for employees in the city's procurement process, which I thought was pretty important because he did that for people that are in key decision-making positions. We also finished an advisory opinion for employees that are working remotely, and we've posted that to our website. And the biggest thing right now, of course, is the 2022 filing season for city financial disclosure statements. The staff has been working very hard on that in terms of getting ready. Of course, the filing season does start on March 1st. We are continuing with the audits of the disclosure statements. We're working on the 2020 filings, and we do hope to get into the 2021 as well. And the most important, other important thing I need to mention is that we are working on improving our existing e-file application. So that's the filing system that you use for filing. And Mr. Robinson has been actively overseeing that project because one of the things that we want to make sure is that city officials and employees can file any of these forms and that there's better functionality and reporting capabilities. And lastly, we are looking at redesigning our ethics website to give a better user experience and provide information about any of our programming. And that's all I have on the status report. I'll take any questions if there are any from the board. All right. If not, I'll just wrap up with the budget report.
Yes.
We're pretty much spending as projected and gearing up for the new budget year. Nothing significant to report except that we'll see what happens with some of the funding that's provided for the next budget year. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ngoba. Any questions to the ethics officer? Hearing none. Do we have any public comments?
Good evening, Madam Chair. Yes, we have two public comments tonight.
Okay.
Hi. I'm Resident DeKalb County. I would like the financial disclosure forms and statements to be made available on the website again. Right now, they have to be requested, and I think that they should be made available publicly and searchable. Really
24/7
on the website. Thanks.
That goes to the ethics office.
Hi, I have two questions. The first, has Michael Julian Bond paid his ethics fine? If he is not, how is he allowed to run again, and how is he allowed to serve if the fine is outstanding? My second question is, are there any updates on putting financial disclosure forms city's website now that we have new leadership in City Hall. If Andre Dickens or Doug Shipman or any council members or their representatives are listening, I would encourage transparency with the financial disclosure forms being available to the public. Thank you.
Okay, and that concludes our public comment section. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Reeves. I could be wrong, Ms. Sengova, but I believe, are they asking more of the financial disclosure forms for campaigns? Okay.
Yes.
I think sure based off of those comments.
Yes, I can clarify, Madam
okay.
Chair.
So I do want to put it in public notice that the Ethics Office does not oversee those forms. That is the city clerk, right?
Well, actually, no, we do. The question was directed at the Ethics Office.
Okay, I just want to know, because it's like, I know we have our filings that we do, our disclosure forms, and it sounded like they were looking for the campaign financial disclosure forms.
I'm not sure, but I'll address what you want me to address.
Okay, I mean, yeah, like I said, because if they're looking for those, because the current, just to make sure I'm clear, the current administration would have not have done your ethics disclosure forms, because those haven't come out yet.
Well,
the ones that we all file.
Well, any of the new members of the administration or the council. Now, in terms of anything prior to that, I can respond when you're ready on that.
Okay, you can. I just want to clear.
Okay.
You're asking.
Yeah, so in terms of the response from the Ethics Division, the 2000, in terms of the ethics disclosure forms, yes, I'm being clear about that. The 2009 through 2019 are available online and at our website. The 2 years that the caller may be referring to, I'm not sure, 2020 and 2021, it does show available on request. However, all of those reports will be available online as of March, because right now our vendor, EasyVote, we're working on getting all of those 2 years available online. But again, let me make it clear that the forms, those 2 years are available. It's just that right now, as we're working through the system, a caller or some member of the public would have to ask us for the forms because we are the custodian of those forms. But they will be available in March for anyone to publicly search and obtain them.
Thank you.
That's the response for the forms.
Okay. So thank you. Just to clear and make sure it's clear, so the ethics financial forms that you have for 2020 and 2021 will be available later this spring, early spring, online, and you're working with the vendor to make sure that all the documents are uploaded. However, they are available for public.
They've always been available.
Right.
Yes, Madam Chair. Yes.
Okay.
And the 2009 through 2019 are available and easily accessible online. So we are want to make sure that's clear to the public, members of the public.
Yes. And any new council member has not filled out that form yet because those are not available yet, and as it's not the time frame, as we all know.
That is correct. Any new members of council, as well as administration, would only be required to file for 2022, and we launched that season on March 1st, 2022.
Thank you. I think, board members, unless you feel that, I think that's suffice to public comments.
Well, actually, I need to respond
to the Michael Julian Palmer.
Yes, please.
Yes.
So, just to be clear, Councilmember Bond does not have any outstanding cases or penalties with the Ethics Division, just so we are clear on that. However, we cannot speak to any sizes of any cases or fines at the state level, but we just wanted to be clear that in terms of anything that was through the Ethics Office at the time, there are no outstanding penalties or cases open. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else from the board? Okay. Before we end our make an announcement, I do have one announcement before. Is everyone tonight is Wesley Tharp, our board member's last meeting. Wesley has decided to not renew his appointment. But I want to say thank you so much, Wesley. You have put so much input and has definitely been a great balance to our board. Wesley's been with us since 2018, I'm sure we're going to miss you. you came in, right, like we were just bang, 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 and, in the beginning of the years and stuff, so you've been on board. So thank you so much for all your hard work and your dedication to this board. Greatly appreciate you. Hopefully we'll see you around the city of Atlanta and anything else that's going on. So I just want to say personally, thank you for your service.
Well, thank you so much for those kind words, Madam Chair. It's been a really great learning experience for me, and I've really appreciated and enjoyed working with everyone, both on the staffs and fellow board members. So I'm sure you all get a new great candidate and some fresh set of eyes and new blood to continue the work, but it's been a real pleasure to serve.
Wesley, thank you for the wonderful work and service. We're going to miss you. Thank you, Wesley.
Thank you very much, Wesley.
Thank you so much.
I enjoyed you being on the board.
Thanks, Wes.
And then the final announcement is our next governing board of the Office of Inspector General meeting will be Thursday, March 17, 2022 at 6 p.m. via Zoom. We currently have no appeals, so we will not be meeting in February. Thank you, everyone, for your time.
I have a question about that. Okay, so right now we don't have any appeals, and so we won't meet. But what if an appeal comes up in the next week or two? Then how is that handled?
Should I respond? Or?
Yeah, go ahead.
You'll be informed that there will be a meeting. Is that the way it will work?
Well, I'll just speak. So we don't have any matters that are pending or would be at the point where appeal will be filed at this time. I can only speak for ethics. I cannot speak.
And no, none of the cases have proceeded to a point where there would be any basis for appeal from the compliance division.
Okay. So in other words, within that time frame, we would know that there would not be any appeals within that 1 month time frame, correct?
That's correct.
Yes, Dr. Mark. And I think Sherry will still send out a notice of cancellation, or if something changed at the last minute, we definitely would let you know. But as of right now, we have nothing either. So
Thank you, everyone. Well, everyone have a great evening, and thank you again for your service.
And a motion to adjourn.
Oh, sorry. I'm so Zoom nowadays. I've been on Zoom so many. This is my third Zoom call, so I do apologize. Can I get a motion to?
Don't move.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Vic Hartman.
Okay, it's been moved from Todd Gray, second from Vic Hartman. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Any abstentions? Now the meeting has been officially adjourned. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. Take care. Take care, everyone.
Good night.
Have a good one. Thank you. Bye. Good night.
Good night.